You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run that is only available to you at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. So you got to get downtown to get your hands on those exclusives. Joining us now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline from the NBC Sports Network and SiriusXM NFL Radio. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter to get all of his information. Ross Tucker, and on Twitter, it's at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on here to get your take on this Browns team sitting at 5-3 halfway through this season. What have you seen from this team? What are your expectations from them going forward as the Mike Pettine era enters the second half of its first season?
Well, I mean, they've certainly exceeded my expectations. I started the year based on what I had seen in the preseason and no Josh Gordon. I had them dead last in the NFL in my podcast power rankings. In fact, I talk to Mike Pettine every week, and he referenced it. He said, what did you have, us 33rd in your podcast power rankings? So he was aware of it. He was aware that I had the Browns dead last, and I'm happy to say that I was wrong. They performed much better than I thought they had. And the thing that's weird about it is you still feel like there's room for improvement when they get Josh Gordon in there. If Alex Mack hadn't gotten hurt, I know injuries happen, but you know there aren't that many injuries that happen to one of your three or four best players on your team. And when those happen, that's gonna hurt you. There's no question about it. So I think that they have gotten way more out of the passing game than I ever anticipated. Looking at their receivers before the season started and their quarterback. Especially with Jordan Kittle. If you had told me that Hoyer would be having the passing yardage he would have, I would tell you that Jordan Cameron would probably have had the best stats in the NFL right. of any tight end, but that hasn't even been the case.
Ross, you talk about Brian Hoyer, and again, what is the national perspective? And we here believe that, you know, he gives us the opportunity because he's an opportunistic type of quarterback, making smart throws, not making the bad picks. But what's the national perspective on Brian Hoyer, you know, since a lot of those contract talks have came up after the Steeler victory and, of course, a hungry Johnny Manziel sitting behind him?
I think that there's the jury is still very much out and that there's a hesitancy to really believe in him as the long-term starter in Cleveland. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Number one is how he played in the preseason when everybody was watching, which sounds crazy, but there's some truth to it. Number two is the fact that they did draft Johnny Manziel. And, you know, he's been on several teams. And, you know, unfortunately, in the NFL, your pedigree, how you enter the league, stays with you until you are able to prove without any shadow of a doubt on a multiple-year basis that you can play at a really high level. You know, when he played poor against Jacksonville, a lot of the national folks said, see, that's who he is. And I've seen that. And that is the subjectivity of player evaluation. I've seen it by watching scouts. They can watch a first-round pick have eight terrible plays, and then one play where he has a pancake block, they'll say, see, that's what he is. That's the talent he has. We just got to get that out of him. Conversely, if a guy is an undrafted free agent or not a big money guy, he can have nine good plays, and then the one play where he gets off balance or doesn't look good, they'll say, see, that's who he is. I mean, Brian Hoyer has to play near perfect and has to keep winning for everyone to believe in him. And what he's done this year, I think, is amazing. I know it hasn't been perfect, but with the personnel they've had and now not being able to run the ball, and he's still doing enough for them to win the last couple weeks, it's impressive. Plus, their defense has turned it around at the right time as well.
Yeah, you talk about that defense. I think the back end of the Browns' defense is really key this turnaround. What have you seen from that group, and how impressed are you with what Tashaun Gibson has been able to do, leading the league now with six interceptions?
He's awesome, and it feels like he's come out of nowhere. I mean, he should be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And so you look at that, you've got Hayden, who should be in the Pro Bowl, especially the way he's played the last couple weeks. Dante Whitner's playing well, and I think Justin Gilbert's getting there. You know, it might take a little bit more time for him, but I think he's getting there. Screen is obviously the guy that people are going to pick on a little bit still, but he's probably best suited to be a third corner in the NFL. All in all, I think they're doing a pretty good job, especially when you consider that, you know, they're still pretty beat up front with no Phil Taylor, and their run defense is not as dominant as it can be or I think will be.
Ross, let me go to your specialty, the offensive line here with the Browns. Alex Mack, we knew he was good, but now you're getting the feeling that, man, not only was he maybe the best center in the league, but one of the best players in the league, period, because his loss has had a dramatic impact on this line and its ability to run block and for this team to get the things going on the ground. What have you seen from the O-line? Is this something that's just a continuity issue, getting Nick McDonald in there? What can Browns fans expect from this line in the second half of the season?
So I really like Alex Mack, both personally and as a player. But I do think we're putting too much of what's going on with this team on his shoulders. Number one, they ran the ball pretty effectively after he got hurt in that game, right? So
yep.
Greco, McQuiston, they ran the ball pretty well in that game. And I think, you know, it's unfair to put it all on Alex and all on Nick McDonald. I mean, if you actually watch the plays, it's not like every time they get stuffed for no gain, it was Nick McDonald's block.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I think sometimes people are like, it's the center again, because that's what's different. The reality is none of them are playing as well as they were before. I think teams have a little bit of a better feel for what they're doing. They're not catching anybody off guard anymore. I still think no matter what you do, people want to see if Brian Hoyer in the passing game can beat them. They're not going to believe that. They're going to keep stacking the box and making Hoyer beat them in play action, which
sure.
He's done a bunch of times. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. And sometimes, guys, it's just not going as well. You know, I think people forget that. I mean, look at the New England Patriots. Look at some of the other teams. It's like everybody wants to be able to point to one thing and say that's the difference, when the reality is it's usually a bunch of things. I mean, the Patriots didn't go from getting stomped to killing everybody because they moved Ryan Wendell to right guard.
It's so true. And Ross, we've talked about what some people feel is half the problem, offensive line. The other half, we'll talk about the running back position. We've got Ben Tate, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell. Who in your eyes is the best of the three? And also, too, second half of the question is are you a firm believer in that two-back system, picking two and running with those, or getting all three carries throughout a football game?
Well, I think probably the best pure runner of the football, natural runner, might be Isaiah Crowell.
Agreed.
But when you watch them, they've all been really effective and productive. I got to tell you guys, I thought Terrence West's block on Levante David
Huge.
Was to play his game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for a rookie to identify that, to see that, and to attack it. I mean, guys, if there was a moment of hesitation, he would not have gotten there. To attack it the way he did and to be as effective as, I mean, Levante David got hurt on it. He wasn't expecting Terrence West to come up there and blow him up. That is a really, really positive sign. I think right now, I wouldn't mind getting all three touches and riding the hot hand. They're all very different. You know, Tate's kind of the veteran guy, knows the offense a little bit more. West is the banger. Isaiah Crowell has a little bit more juice, a little bit more shake and wiggle to him. I don't see what the problem is with giving those guys carries and seeing who has the hot hand. I know people say, well, you want to get them into a rhythm and blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, play well enough early and we'll get you into a rhythm. I mean, you know, be effective and productive early. Trust us. We'll let you get into a rhythm.
That's exactly right. All right, Russ, we know you got to go. Russ, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ross.
When before we let you go, though, how do you see this game going on Thursday night? A huge one for the Browns, an opportunity to kind of get into control of this AFC North.
I am so pumped for this game. I can't even tell you. I talk to Marvin Lewis and Mike Pettin every week on my radio show, so I have a good feel for these teams. You know, I'm just not sure. This game to me is a toss-up, which is probably a pretty good sign, Browns fans.
Yes, we'll take it.
It's in Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's in Cincinnati, I'll give them a slight edge to win by a field goal, but it's that type of game. I mean, you know, Vegas gives you 3 points for being the home team. I think these teams are just about even. I think the difference will be which quarterback takes care of the ball, specifically in the second half. I think back-to-back games, Andy Dalton, even though they've won, has had multiple turnovers in the fourth quarter. If the Browns can do that again and force them into those turnovers, and Hoyer doesn't have a terrible interception like he had on Sunday, they're going to win. I mean, it's two mediocre quarterbacks, and the better one at maintaining possession is going to win the game.
Ross, great stuff. Follow him on Twitter at RossTuckerNFL. You can get him on NBC Sports Network, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, and, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which is excellent, by the way. I happen to enjoy it quite a bit, especially the fantasy one you're doing with Evan Silva this year. It's good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. You guys do an awesome job. The Browns website, Browns Daily, everything. And I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this. You guys probably have the best fans in the NFL because it's unreal how loyal and dedicated you've been through the tough times since they've come back. I can't tell you how much respect I have for Browns fans.
Ross, we appreciate it. We know you gave your heart to them in 2006 when you were here with the Browns, so you know firsthand. And thanks for your time and the great insights, and keep up the great work.
All right, take care.
All right, that's Ross Tucker. Again, you can get him on Twitter at RossTuckerNFL. He's got a podcast, NBC Sports Network, SiriusXM, NFL Radio. Call that a pretty much a toss-up, which I think is good. I think that says a lot about where the Browns are when you have a Cincinnati team that's been to the playoffs 3 years in a row, currently atop the division, and yet the Browns going on the road somewhere they haven't won in the division in 17 straight games, and he still thinks this is a toss-up. The Browns have a good shot. So I like that.
I love that. I love the fact that Ross is a no-nonsense, even keel, has no bias to one team or the other. As he said, he talks to Marvin as much as he talks to Coach Patton. And I just love the fact that he put us in the game because so many people...
We're in the game, that's right.
That's right, we're in the game. It's like EA Sports, we're in the game. And it's like, that's what you want. That to you, Browns fans, Dog Pound, is taking steps in the right direction. The fact that a national, unbiased opinion says we're even keel with the Cincinnati Bengals, which makes for... the fight that will happen Thursday at 8:25.
Cannot wait for that. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Matt and I will take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll hand out our defensive grades as well, and the special teams grade. They are going to get probably their best grade of the season in this one. That's coming up next on CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.